The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
And we begin the second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins. Today's date is January 31st, 2022. Last comment I'm going to make on the Joe Rogan experience here with his dilemma there, and then we'll move on. We have, of course, our second hour guest, always every Monday, our legal strategist, Ron McDonald. Oh, last thing I want to say is that Joe Rogan has taken the high road. Actually, he has not blown his cork. He's been very steady in his mannerisms, his behavior. He's taken the high road. And I think what he ought to do, when somebody says that there's misinformation, disinformation, I think you actually need to break it down by definition and give those definitions and then show where on the other side there's been misinformation, disinformation, outright lies, and propaganda. It would be nice to address those terms and show what the terms actually mean in definition and then show the examples on the other side of those who want to suppress your speech to show where they've been misinforming people, disinformation, outright lies, and propaganda. Point the finger back and do that in a very professional manner. That's exactly how it handled this situation. I think he's done a good job of handling this situation right now. He's taken the high road, but that's how I would take care of this and point out their government experts, how we keep catching them and moving the goalposts and how this matters and now this doesn't matter and the masks and social distancing. And you're basically going to reiterate the things that Dr. Malone told us and Dr. Peter McCullough told us, and that's going to sting because you can't come back on that. These guys are true experts. One's the inventor of the messenger RNA technology, and the other one's just flat out one of the highly most recognized people in treating COVID. He's got a great track record. If you just look at his website and see what he's accomplished in his life, far outnumbers and anybody else on their side. They just don't have it. As a matter of fact, an article I found today was trying to suggest that we've been talking about this for 24 months, that Dr. Anthony Fauci, I hate to call him doctor, he's a wacko, he's a mad scientist maybe, but he's not a doctor. He's never treated patients. He has no patients. He's the guy stuck in the basement with the test tubes that's doing gain-of-function testing, tweaking pathogens to become more powerful. That's what he does, and that's what he did in the Wuhan, China lab, gain-of-function. He walked away from that. If you want to point a finger at this whole scam of how this whole thing got blown up and why everything changed and why our lives are not the way they used to be, well, point to one finger, one guy who took a pathogen and tweaked it, and then it got out, supposedly. I think it was released purposefully. My feeling is it was released purposefully, but you want to pin it on somebody, pin it on this guy. I mean, back in the day, people like this would have been called traitors and treasonous, and they would have been hanging from a tree if they were charged with genocide, and that's exactly what we're looking here. A lot of innocent people have died because some guy tweaked a virus and it got out. But there's no punishment when your administration is a corrupt administration. There's no punishment below. So I think Joe Rogan has handled that quite well. Ron McDonald, are you there?
Yes, I am, Steve. How are you doing today?
Good, good, good. I got that spiel out. I had to get that.
I see that. Jeez.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that I've watched about Rogan is that he's been on the carnivore diet. I don't know if you've heard about that or not.
I have. I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of success stories with that diet.
Well, that's good. You're not on the diet, are you?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. I'm considering.
Really? So,
yeah.
So in four years, Ron McDonald's turned Pillsbury on me?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I'm slim, actually.
Oh,
I don't
good.
Have weight. But the clarity of mind with that diet is mm-hmm. immense.
Well, that's good. I'm sticking by my diet, which is really no diet. I just moderation. Try to eat moderation. That's all I do. And I pretty much stay at the same weight all the time. And if I start to feel a little bit, then I just kind of cut back something that goes away, you know?
Yeah.
These people that actually buy more clothes, buy new clothes. You see these huge people, Ron. You see these massively huge people. How many clothing changes, new clothes lineups, how many did you have to buy, you know, to get to this point? That's a lot of money wasted.
Right.
So
right.
At that point, if I start to feel like the pants are a little tight, I don't buy new pants, bigger pants. I don't buy stretch pants. I said, I better lose a few pounds. I don't want to buy new clothes. That's how
right.
I do.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm the same way. I wear a size 32 waist, so.
Are you really? You're 32?
Yeah.
I'm not even a 32. Huh. I'm 33.
But I exercise every day, weight lift and exercise, so.
Wow. Okay.
You have to when you get to my age.
Steve. Yeah. Well,
you're just a young pup still, so.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Let's talk about California. A lot of changes in California, Ron. Lots of changes. Lots of changes. You and I talked a little bit earlier before we went on air and in the break there and talking about people are leaving California. There's like a mass exodus. It's not quite at the height yet, but a lot of people are leaving. A lot of celebrities are leaving. The taxation issues being probably the number one reason why people were leaving. The illegal aliens coming in, of course, the taxation going up because they have to pay for all this stuff. Health care for the illegals, that's going to cost you. Crime statistics going up, that's going to cost you. You're going to get out of here. And I understand that weeks ago there was a story that they actually ran out of U-Haul trucks in the state of California, people leaving, and they're going to Texas, they're going to Arizona, some coming to Florida. And I'm okay with people coming to my part of the country here. Just please don't bring your liberal politics. What can you tell me about in your area there, Ron? I mean, you're seeing changes the last 24 months.
You know, the one thing about California, it leads in regulatory laws. It has 306,000 regulatory laws, and it's the highest throughout the nation. The second is New York with 100,000.
Right.
So you can see what's happening, why businesses want to leave the state. The taxes are high. I think it's about 16% now.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not beneficial. We've had some big names leave the country. Let's see here. Let me look. I'm reading an article that has the names of certain people that were in here. I can't find it though for some reason, but Tesla left, Brogan left, as you know, he went to Texas.
Right.
It's just a massive like the state has been flooded and we're all leaving it.
Yeah.
Fortunately, my wife and I can withhold and stay here. We're doing pretty good, but our neighbors, several of them, we've had I'd say on our block, and you know where I live, we've had about five houses up for sale and sold instantaneously. I don't know who wants to buy in California, but they're still buying here, but they're leaving in packs.
Yeah. Where are they going to, Ron? Anybody?
They're going to Florida and Texas.
Texas, yeah.
A few to Arizona.
Well, Texas got their problems now, too, with that southern border. I can't imagine leaving one bad situation to go to another bad situation where the illegals are coming and I have to pay high taxes now to school and give the health care and everything else here. I don't jumping out of the pot into the fire again, it sounds like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, what can I say? I don't, we live in an area where our roads aren't paved when we get potholes. Right. I don't know if the rest of the nation's like that, but they're collecting a heck of a lot of taxes. We pay about $8,000 for our property tax on one house and similar on another house. And the streets just aren't maintained. And we have no electric lighting on our area. And we have our own septic system, but basically our property taxes are equal to the major cities in California.
Yeah. So is your property tax 1.5% of your value of your home?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Okay. I have. Yeah, probably.
Right around there. Okay.
Yeah.
Usually between 1% and 1.5%.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go into an industry here. I was part of the wine industry. I actually had my little winery. I never gave you any of my wine, Ron. I wish I had. I had a lot of wine. I made a lot of wine. Yeah. So I got involved in the wine industry on the side while I was working in the ICU in Santa Rosa. And a story came by me today that I said, oh, this is finally happening, because I said this was going to happen years ago. When I learned about Agenda 21, which later on was called Agenda 2030. I think you and I, at the same time, we attended that Eagle Forum meeting with Orlean Kerla and many others. I started to understand something that I did not know about. I didn't know about the Bilderbergs and Bohemian Grove. And I started doing a lot of research and realized this is all my backyard. Oh my God, these things exist. You know, they're not conspiracies. These people actually come together in Bohemian Grove, and they have a huge and secret society type stuff. Security guards, you can't get in. And what are they talking about? Well, they're talking about world politics and whatever. I mean, it's very secret. We don't know all, but we know they're coming together to do something that's beneficial for one other group or a certain set of people. But this article that came by me, Ron, was California sustainability comes for the wine industry. And I said this a while back. You guys have been through drought after drought after drought. You're probably in a drought right now. Last time when I was living there, I had people walking around the neighborhood, and they would knock on your door, and they're saying they'd either hand you a ticket to notice that you're watering too much, or you'd get a fine. Well, I was challenged one day that I was watering too much, but what actually happened was I was accused of watering on a day, because they gave us days we could water and the other days we could not water. I'd actually emptied out my fish tank. I have a 100-gallon fish tank. You saw that fish tank, Ron.
Yes.
Got a big 100-gallon tank. And every once in a while, to keep fresh water and the nitrogen level low for my big Oscars, I would take the water out probably about half, maybe three quarters, and I would filter everything out, the gravel and everything, and I get all this great poo water. I call it poo water from fish, and it's great for plants. And I would water my plants down by the street there. I had some potted plants and nice trees and stuff, and I would water. I wouldn't waste this water. I'd use it because my plants loved it. Matter of fact, the big jade plant I gave you, Ron, that grew to be a massive, looked like an alien structure here, was fertilized with poo water, my Oscar poo water. That's probably why it's so huge.
Wow.
And so I would water these plants, and I had a guy came by and said, I can give you a ticket here. He talked about fining me for watering my plants because it's a day I can't water. Well, he accused me of watering. I said, no, I just emptied my fish tank out and I used the water to water my plants. Then I hit him with the true facts of where our water comes from and what the percentage of volume is, percentages in that reservoir right now. And I said, so you're threatening me with a fine when we're really not in a shortage whatsoever. Yeah, we're in a shortage. No, we're not. I looked up. Here are the numbers for the nearest reservoir where we get our water. You were at like 93% at the time. There was a proclaimed water shortage, but what was happening here is they were selling the water rights downriver to Southern California. And then they increased our water bills the same, because we're in a shortage here, we're going to increase your water bill. So I caught him in a lie. I pointed it out, and I told him, make your way, move on. Go pull that crap on somebody else. I know the truth, And he had nothing to stand on because I'd done the homework. I could show what the percentage of volume is in the reservoir, and he couldn't fly that story by me that we're in a drought here and threaten me with a fine. So coming to this article here, I don't know any other industry that I've ever worked in that uses as much water as the wine industry. These guys use massive amounts of water, whether it's the irrigation of the crop itself or the sanitation part of cleaning down the equipment when we're done. I mean, we go through a lot of water, more than I could ever imagine. And so a lot of farmers have dug big giant pits on their property, some of them pretty deep, 20, 30 feet deep, pretty wide, to catch rainwater. And now we know states coming by and saying, well, they somehow have some kind of formula to figure out by mapping it and the depth of it about how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of gallons are in that pond, which is used by the farmer, the grape farmer, or the vineyard to water, irrigate his crop. They're now saying, well, that water, if it didn't, you didn't have the hole in the ground, that would spill off into our rivers, and that would be water for us because we're in a drought. So they're getting taxed on the water that are in these holding ponds. They're getting taxed for the extra wells that they have in the ground. They've put meters on the wells to know precisely how much water is being pumped out for the use of that winery. So what I see happening, I thought this was coming. I knew this was coming. Sustainability. And of course, then you got the wildfires. We need water for that. We got to put out, when we have agriculture, we have to have our crops. And knowing how much water is being used in the wine industry, they're looking now to the sustainability is that we're going to force people to get out of the wine industry. I don't know how they're going to do this, Ron. You and I talked about this regulatory law of, you know, finding some ground to say, well, are you a hazard? They're going to say maybe that your vineyard is a hazard. It's an eyesore. I don't know what it is. They're going to use some tactic to say, because you're consuming so much water that should be in the general population here, you now have to close your doors. You're out of the wine business. So we're looking at the potential here. Very similar to what's just happened here from eliminating the businesses, the small businessmen in the COVID pandemic, a transfer of wealth from the middle class and the business owner to the big giant box stores, the conglomerates. But in this situation, transferring the wine industry, small guy, and there are a lot of small guys, a lot of small guys in the wine industry. They may produce 10,000 gallons. They may produce 20, 30,000 gallons, and that's nothing compared to the big wigs who like Gallo in Napa. You've got some big guys. You got some big players out there that have massive production plants. And so what I see to happen is probably a swallowing up of the small and the middle guy in the wine industry, all for sustainability, because we need the water for this and this and this. And what they're going to end up doing is continue to sell the water rights downstream. It's another scam coming. And I'm just trying to wonder, what angle are they going to take, Ron, to say, you have to close your doors. You must close your doors. You're a fire hazard.
We've seen it happen before, Steve. We've seen it with the large supermarkets going into smaller communities and closing up all local bakeries and little supermarkets. I mean, there's a formula to that, you know, and then once those bakeries and those smaller supermarkets are closed up, then the quality of food changes for the people in the community. So the same formula will probably be used for the wineries. And of course, the big ones will survive and the small ones will dissipate. They'll lessen.
So what's the angle for the small guy? What's the angle for the small guy? I mean, they're going to come at you and say you're using too much water. What angle can they possibly use to get to work this out? Ron, we'll come back to that answer when we come back at a short commercial break. We'll come back to that.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Well, the magic's fun.
We are back. So Ron, before we left, I was talking about what's the angle for the small guy here to push back and fight and save his business, because I see there's going to be a transfer of wealth in the wine industry, the squeezing out the little guy and the middle guy and handing that business over to the big giant producers of wine.
Well, you know, I believe we're going to see a sad situation there, Steve. You know, most owners of property have mineral rights if the property has been exploited for over 20 years or has never been exploited. And they have the right to any minerals or gold or liquid oil or anything of that. But surface rights is what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Surface rights is a different thing. And usually most owners of property do not have surface rights. They have the right to water to divert it from a river and use it with authorization. But you know, when you were talking about building a pond on your property, that is a surface right. Mm-hmm. And unless the landowner has a lodium title to his property, where he owns the property absolutely without any claims from the state, right, he doesn't have that right.
So how far back does the surface rights go, as far as like my friend has a huge pond he built on his winery there. It's pretty good size, about 30 feet deep. It's a good size. I'd say probably about 5 acres maybe. And now they're coming after him and saying, well, all that water in there there's not much in there now anyway, because they didn't get much rain. But that's the angle they're going at, is that would be in the general circulation of water in our rivers, and it's not, it's in your pond. That's ours.
Well, you know, I have a devious mind. if it were me and I had a pond, I would see if it could be mixed with something and yet not lose the quality of water. Now, you know, there are elements out there that you can mix the water with, change the nature of the water into something else, and yet use it for irrigating.
Well, that's what they're using it for. That's what these ponds are being used for.
No, what I'm saying is change the very character of the water in the pond. Don't make it water any longer. Make it something else. Hmm. And yet make it, you know, there are elements that you can use that will hold the water. And what are those little white things that, you know, in potting soil that holds the water? If you're to fill a pond with water and put that substance in there, you change the very nature of the water into something else, and that would not fall under water rights.
Right.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah. Actually, Michael is just writing some stuff in here, and I'm trying to read it. Perlite and vermiculite.
There it is.
There you go.
Yeah.
So if you had he's a smart pond guy. He's a smart guy too, isn't he?
Yes,
Michael's smart.
He most certainly is.
You know, you can be a smart guy or you can be a smart guy. You can take it either way. But I think Michael's a smart guy.
Does he do a lot of gardening?
I guess he does. He knew those two words. I like, well, yeah, that's right. I've heard those words before.
Yes.
Yeah, he's smiling. Okay, good.
So you see how you can get away with something.
So find the angle of making it different than the purpose that you stated you use it for.
Right. Right. You can still use it for the same purpose, but it's taken a different form.
Right.
Now, does the state of California or the county have jurisdiction over perlite?
Interesting. Not sure. I also came by something else. I know they're 60%, I think 60% is the last number I think I remember saying. 60% of all small businesses were crushed in the last 24 months, Ron, from the pandemic, because they weren't deemed essential. They were shut down. Of course, they got a little bit of money here and there to try to keep them afloat, but it was just patch jobs here and there, patch jobs. And all their business basically floated over. There was a redistribution of wealth from that small businessman, the middle businessman, to the big giant guys, the conglomerates, the big box stores, the Amazons, the Walmarts. And I knew this was a scam from the beginning, when they decided the government would determine what was essential and what was not essential. And then I saw liquor stores were open, and certain other stores were open, but then the gym was closed down. The health gym was closed down. So, you know, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, which I knew right away. This is a scam being played out here. This is a plandemic, scamdemic. But the same situation, I got this magazine, Ron, the other day in one of my cooking magazines. I never heard of it. It must be a brand new startup magazine. All right, commercial break. We'll come right back to it. Stay tuned. Ron McDonald is with me. We're talking about Californian business.
Learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we are back, and I'm all right. Ron, are you all right?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Actually, that's interesting, because that was the last concert I saw at Rodney Strong Vineyards before I left the state of California, moved to Florida. I saw Kenny Loggins at the winery there. Huge winery, Rodney Strong Winery, huge winery there. Wow. They won't be affected. They will not be affected like the little guys, but because they're a big wig outfit there. Ron, we got a call from Texas. Let's go ahead and take this call here. Wayne in Texas, you're on with Ron McDonald. Wayne,
yeah,
in Texas.
Steve. Yes, I'm here.
Yep. Yes, what's on your mind, Wayne?
I had a question. We're hearing more and more stories about hospitals keeping patients almost under house arrest while they're battling COVID, and even denying them some of these alternate treatments and like ivermectin and all that. And I was wondering if either of you could give out some advice as to how we could handle that on layman's terms without having to go to court, you know, something like that. Could we revoke a signature or demand hospice care at home or something like that?
You know what? I would say that you would have to go the legal route on this one here. The hospitals have been granted power that they really are not entitled to. I've seen a lot of this, at least in cases around the state and the country, that where families saying, you know, he's getting worse and worse. Can we try these alternative treatments? And they say, no, that's not our protocol. And they seem to stand on that. It's not our protocol and get away with it. And the court systems have backed that hospital having that power to say it's not our protocol. I, at that point, would file a lawsuit. You can forget going to risk management because they're protecting the hospital's rights, and they're violating your rights at that point. And what's to be hurt for a hospital other than the scam being exposed that the alternative treatments really work? If somebody's at death's door, if I were a physician, I would say, we're going to go for it. We're going to do all these different things. And if it doesn't work, I'm no worse off than I was because he was going to die anyway. But then if you do the treatments, the early treatments or these treatments that bring you out of death, well, then it's going to show that really these alternative treatments do work. It's going to blow the agenda up. And they're willing to risk people dying in order to keep the agenda going. That's the sad part about it. But I would be fighting tooth and nail to get these treatments and or transfer that patient, my family member, to a hospital that will work with me, give me rights, understand that I have rights, the patient has rights, and that they're being violated, and that there's no reason why we can't try an alternative treatment because nothing else is working anyway. That's where I would go with that.
Yeah. It seems like, though, in the paperwork that you sign when they first go into the hospital, do you feel like there's some kind of legal clauses in there that are, again, giving these hospitals the power to force these people to stay in there? And I'm under the belief that these hospitals could be very well earning a bonus for COVID deaths on their property.
Yeah. They are. Which they are that. I've mentioned that before. There's five different incentives, or maybe six different incentives for the hospital. They're getting the Medicare, Medicaid. They're getting bonuses, right, for COVID. They're getting bonuses if somebody goes on a ventilator. They're getting bonuses for everything, a positive PCR testing. There's money to be made in this scam, and they are certainly cashing in big time. This is what has to be done. You have rights. You know, in a hospital, if you're a patient, let's go outside the realm of COVID right now. And if I were a patient in a hospital, first of all, that paperwork you sign is most likely financial paperwork, financial that you will pay the bill. And that's pretty much all that is, financial, and giving them consent to treat you. It's mostly financial. Now, if I were going to a hospital and I did not like what was going on, I thought I was getting lousy care, I have the right to go AMA, leave the hospital against medical advice. I would tell them, you know what, I'm not happy, I want to go home. They have to respect that. They have to allow you to go home. They cannot take you and say, no, you have to stay here. If you're a sound mind, you have the choice to make to leave the hospital against medical advice. They'll document it as leaving the hospital against medical advice, AMA. You have the right to do that. You also have the right to come back to the hospital, even though you signed yourself out. Later on, if you want to come back, you can come back. But you have the right to refuse the treatment. You have to right to refuse everything and release yourself. And we need to recognize that. The problem is COVID itself has erased all that, in that you are contagious and we can't have you out there. So we're going to hold you against your will. We're going to do what we think is right to do. And so you can't sign yourself out AMA while you're COVID. I believe that's what's happening right now.
Right. Does Ron have any thoughts on this?
Actually, I'm not. All I know is that it's contract law, and I have to. My vote's with Steve on this. Is that you presume a position of you're the they're the what do you call it? The agent for you. You're the principal. They're the agent. You have total control over the agent. And if you feel that you're not getting the care that you're deemed, for example, that you want ivermectin and they're refusing to give you ivermectin, you do have a right to cancel or void out the agent's contract, his position.
You talked about revoking the signature, or just how would you do that? The voiding.
Well, you terminate them. This contract is terminated.
Yeah. Okay. Lack of trust, whatever reason you come up with, lack of trust, lack of belief in the treatments that you're getting. I mean, like I said, they've got nothing to lose. If somebody is getting worse and worse, they've got nothing to lose. They got something to gain by gaining and using these alternative treatments, and they actually cure the person. Guess what? That blows the agenda right up. They don't want that. They don't want to blow this thing up. They want to fuel it, keep it going.
Well, you're fighting big corporations. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
the
profit is immense for the vaccines.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, it definitely makes sense. I just thought, because you hear these stories now of people dying because they didn't get the care or have a chance for the ivermectin, as well as the fact that families are having to sneak ivermectin in and have saved a couple lives there. I've read those stories, too.
Right.
So it just seems so ludicrous that we're in a situation right now where you don't have any legal rights. And I hear some courts are even turning people down, too. So it seems like a very, very weird situation.
It is at that. I don't know. The courts, Ron, when I talked to Dr. Peter McCullough and I said, why are we not getting a fair shake in the court systems? Why are the lawyers not going after this? And he said, because right now there's no fairness in the courts right now, Steve. There's no fairness in the courts. Until we get some fairness in the courts where it's going in one ear out the other and they're not siding with the client, the patient. And that's very sad. Sure. I tell you what, I would be furious mad if I had a family member in the hospital and they were just allowing them to die when we could save them. I'd be very angry.
One last question, Steve. Is it possible to demand hospice at home and force them to release someone?
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that.
Oh, good.
But that's, again, your physician, at that point, you gave him the contract. You may want to nullify the contract, but the problem is in COVID, I don't see that happening, nullifying the contract. Any other disease process, you could say, I want to nullify the contract. I don't want to receive chemo. I've got cancer. I'm in stage 3 or 4. I want to go home on hospice. That doesn't seem to work with COVID.
Interesting.
COVID's a whole new game here, and a whole new game.
Well, it's definitely a game, all right. So, all right, thanks a lot, Steve.
You got it, Wayne. Thanks. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Sherry in Kansas. Welcome, Sherry.
Hey, I don't know if you caught Michael Herzog Friday show when he sat in for John Sauer, and it was really good. And he talked about this CARES Act, and it seems to be a big part of this, and it was passed prior to COVID.
Right.
Like, they were setting up for this, and if you didn't hear it, Steve, you might want to go back and listen to it.
I caught his show for the first half an hour, and I think in the first half an hour he talked about it.
The other thing is, and this was on another network, but it was very important, and I've heard Dr. Brian Artist a few times, and he's very good. And have you heard him, Steve?
What's the last name again? Last name?
Artist, A-R-D-I-S.
I have.
Yeah, he's quite eloquent, and he, you know, what happened to his father-in-law before COVID and then what he's learned since then. And now he says on his website, and you have to sign in before you can get these forms, but you can get to the forms, and he says you can, you know, sign yourself out to where you're not on there anymore to get. But he's got a something on there that where you can assign your power of what do they call it when you sign over to a friend or
like
loved one?
Like a durable power of attorney?
Well, for your medical decisions. What's that called? But anyway,
it's kind of like the same thing as a durable power of attorney for medical. They make the decisions.
So, And you really got to get that beforehand. You know, you really got to anticipate this in this day and age. And then also, I heard another program about, especially if you have health issues yourself, or, you know, someone close to you has health issues, and you get them to look into having a prior set up with this patient advocate group.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And I think they're out of Texas too, but I'm not sure. This was, well, it's the guy that's taken over, that's doing the Power Hour now. And he's got some legal experience too. And then this deal about, have you heard the Angry played something, but the guy that's doing the Power Hour, he also had this group of ladies on, and how they stopped the mask mandate in, I think this was up in Iowa. They actually went after this, I think it was a superintendent's bond. They had to go up to the superintendent.
Yep.
And, you know, they had to serve her, you know, and she was trying like heck to avoid being served.
Right.
But it was, it's quite interesting. And Ingrid played for about the last half hour of her show, well after the 20-minute break of the first hour, she played a deal and talked about how you go about this. Gave you a lot of good information, but maybe that's what we need to do to the judges. Because these judges are so corrupt.
Well, that's a good question for Ron. Ron, what's the action that one can take against a judge that's not following a rule of law? What processes do you have in your pocket
Again, I used a writ of mandate when a judge wouldn't follow the law in a particular case. It was a labor case.
Right.
And I did a writ of mandate on a particular case that was from the Ninth Circuit. And it had all the elements that were equal to the same elements in that present case. And that judge wouldn't follow it, so I went right into the Superior Appellate Court. Mm-hmm. And they turned around and basically scolded that judge.
Wow.
And had him dismiss the case. And this was worth a lot of money. This was a large case. So,
right.
But that would be the way to go is
to write a mandamus.
Yeah.
That they have to show that why the information they have, the evidence they have to back up their stand on this one here.
Right. So I mean, if you believe you have the law on your side, if the case law is an interpretation of the statute. So if you have the right interpretation of the statute and the court overrules you, you have to do a writ of mandamus compelling him to use that case.
Right.
And you have to do an appellate court.
Could you use that if they're actually doing this mandate stuff and they really have no constitutional power to do it? So
That's a great question.
That would
be the question.
Law, right?
Okay. What do you mean they have no constitutional power?
Well, if in their, if they're not empowered by any constitutional, I mean, now, Ron Avery said this on his show several times, and I think this is true because in the Kansas Constitution it says in Article 2, all power comes from the people. So if I can't force you to wear a mask, I can't give my elected officials the power to force you to wear a mask.
Right, right. Well, you know, they do have, and there are exceptions to that rule, and that's when you have a pandemic. I don't think we have a pandemic because we don't see a third of the population dropping dead.
Right.
So what they're doing...
Did you ever... Now, I've read that back at the time of World War I, when this so-called Spanish flu was going around, they did all kinds of tests trying to, I mean, they had people that had supposedly had this flu, and they coughed on people and actually exchanged mucus and stuff. And they couldn't prove that those people, you know, got the flu from that. So they never proved that that was really what was causing the Spanish flu. And they were wearing masks and everything back then, too.
Yeah.
They've never really proved this. And maybe the reason, I thought that the maybe the reason they won't show that they've cultured this, because then it would show that it was created in a lab.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
That's why.
Well, Sherry, the bottom line is your governments have what's called police powers. And those police powers are based on public health, safety, and the general welfare. It's a very limited power. Don't think it's a vast power. It's a very limited power. That means when the COVID, when it's affecting everyone throughout the state, that's when their police powers are constitutionally available. Mm-hmm. If it's not affecting everyone in the state, it is not available. So they're violating that principle upon which their authority is adopted.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're also,
Ron,
I would also say they're theorizing that a lot of these things are, these predictions are made on models. They're not actual cases, they're models. They have some kind of program. And their model will tell them, we think that X number of people are going to be positive this next week or per day. And they're using that to create a pandemic. As you said, a third of the population, you know, and we don't have that at all.
Right.
Nobody's dropping dead like that. So, again, they've gone beyond. And maybe the best route would be actually, first of all, let's define pandemic. Let's define the pandemic. Let's also define, while we're at it, vaccine. What is a vaccine? What's the intention of a vaccine? We've got a lot of problems with definitions and people redefining the definition of is. I would probably start there first.
Right.
On definitions.
Right. And you know, if you were to do check the stats on the population, the death toll worldwide, from 2021 back to 2020, you'll probably not see a significant difference in people dying. It's been stable.
Yeah.
There's about 54 to 56,000 people a week. These were stats, I think, in 2017. I don't think they had the 2018 stats out yet, and then all this stuff started happening. But that was the average of people dying per week. It's a little bit less than 1% of the population just dies of all causes.
Right.
Now they're blaming everything on COVID. You know?
Well, I think the death rate is up because of COVID, but not from the COVID itself. I'm not going to show
from the vaccine.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I'll get off. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for that. Yes, you're absolutely correct. And, you know, from the very beginning, and I think I talked about this from the very beginning, that the CDC has a P behind it, CDC of prevention. And we never heard anything, Ron, from the very beginning of this pandemic of how to protect yourself from the virus and necessary things to do for health-wise to protect your immune system or to boost your immune system. We never saw any of that. It was simply, this is what it is. It's catchy. We have asymptomatic spreaders walking around. You could kill grandma. And we're working on a warp speed shot vaccine. They want to call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. Everything played into that realm of a scam from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I talked to Dr. Peter McCullough about this, and from the very beginning, I started off the interview by saying, now let's tell me, I had a lot of medical classes, virology, you name it, pathology, everything. Is there such a thing as an asymptomatic spreader? He said, no, there's no such thing. You either have symptoms and you're infectious or you don't. There's no other way about it. So right off the bat, knowing that, of how they were tooling that word, that definition again, first of all, symptomatic, asymptomatic, but you could be asymptomatic and then using the faulty PCR testing, which they knew from the very beginning. They were told that this is a flawed technology. If you cycle it too fast, you'll actually have a false positive. And a false positive was made into a case which their case, a true case, is when you need medical intervention or hospitalization because you can't treat it yourself. And so, again, the rewording the definitions, we need to do a serious sit down and talk about real definitions versus the way they want it to be.
Right. Well, I think you hit on a pivotal point. You know, we've been giving advice for external suppression of COVID, but no internal suppression of COVID. Right. And we already know that vitamin D actually helps the immune system to fight off that, besides zinc and some other minerals and vitamins.
And also remember closing down the beaches, Ron. I mean, that was a big, huge red flag.
Geez.
We got windy beaches, sunny down here, beautiful, and they're closing beaches because what? You can catch COVID on a windy, sunny beach. They didn't want you to have that vitamin D sunshine. They did not want you to have that.
You know, when the governor goes to a dinner and doesn't wear a mask and thinks no one's going to find out that he's at a dinner shaking hands and enjoying himself, you know, it's a pretense.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's you know, not following your own mandates. The hypocrisy is so great here. And we've seen lots of politicians do that. Nancy Pelosi did it, many others. And it's amazing that that's not enough to end the pandemic. It's not enough to open the eyes of a lot of people to say, Ron, this is a scam, and why am I following these rules? I mean, Walensky went on TV, I guess, 2 weeks ago, saying that masks don't work. Fauci admitted masks don't prevent and protect you, and I still see people wearing the mask. Now, if you're following these two people as they're disciples of true health, they've just told you they don't work, but you're still wearing the mask, which points to what Robert Malone was talking about, and that's mass formation psychosis, I think, along with maybe some Stockholm syndrome in there. But we are seeing some really damaged people, psychologically damaged people, who just can't seem to break away. They have to have the mask on.
You know, with Nancy Pelosi, I don't think she got angry because she wasn't wearing a mask. She looked like a drowned rat, and I don't think she wanted her picture in the paper.
Well, yeah, she's not very appealing. I wish she'd step down, but I understand that she's going to go for re-election, so try to get back in.
Okay.
Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah. Any parting words, Ron? I'm glad to have you back on. Any parting words tonight? Anything else?
Nothing I can think of. I'm checking into an IRS case that I'm diligently working on.
Well, I got this new magazine, Ron. You may check into it. It's called Millie, M-I-L-L-I-E. And evidently, they're trying to bring first-time people back into business who've never been in business. They're trying to get your money. And the article I have here is, with a little help from my friends and family. So they wanted to strip the wealth from you and also your family members to hand it over to big business. So that's our show tonight. Thank you very much for attending. Thank you for the calls. Appreciate it. Health, happiness, and safe travels, everybody. See you back in the studio Sunday night for my show, Off the Beaten Path. We will talk again. Good night.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.